The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. They say to not judge a book by its cover, and that's really good wisdom. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes when I pick up a new book that's piquing my interest, a new book that I'm thinking about reading but I'm not quite sure if I want to, I will flip right to the last page and I will read the last sentence and I will judge that book by that last line. It's sort of cheating, I know. But there's part of me that wants to know if the read is going to be worth it, if it's going to turn out in a way that seems satisfying or interesting, if the story will be fulfilling from beginning to end. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. Well, I want to read that book, right? It's classic. Right up there with, "And they lived happily ever after. It turns out okay." Gone with the Wind gives us, "After all, tomorrow is another day." But we might actually think of Rhett Butler walking off screen saying something else to Scarlett O'Hara. How a story ends can really stick with a person. Did everyone make it out alive? Did the story leave you hanging? Did it end too soon? Did it tie things up? Does it leave you feeling a sense of wonder or delight? Will there be another book in the series or another sequel to the movie, or should you stop before you even start? When we flip to the last line of the Easter Gospel before us today, it has a really strange ending. And it ends this way. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. That's it. So would you read that story? Peter goes home and he's amazed? Well, what's it about? Frankly, my dears, I don't know if I'd take the time to read that book. Broken-hearted women who are doing what strong women do make their way to the tomb as early as they can to observe that stone rolled away. Perplexed is the word. Perplexed, and with the smell of spices in their nose, they cannot do what they wanted to do because there's nobody there, no body to anoint. And not only are they confused, I'm guessing they are on the edge of panic. Then the angels in dazzling white, then the terror, then the memory of Jesus' words echoing in their minds. And that question, why do you look for the living among the dead? Mary, Joanna, Mary, and the other women run to tell Jesus' followers and friends, and they are disbelieved. They are even mocked. Actually, the phrase idle tale softens the language. From the original Greek, punch would probably be the equivalent of today's vernacular mansplaining. So in true Peter form, he rushes in and verifies that what the woman had said was in fact true. that their story had ended with legitimacy. And so he goes home, and he's amazed. And the story stops for us this morning. It's a wonder that a story with such an anticlimactic ending has the power to bring us together with Christians from around the world today. We gather around this story alongside of choirs and trumpet fanfare and bright colors and the strong smell of lilies and hyacinths. We are here today because it's Easter, and so we're here in our Sunday best or our everyday ordinary blue jeans and with our families or by ourselves to celebrate God and to celebrate life because we know how the story ends. The story doesn't end at the tomb, nor does it end at Peter's home. And thanks be to God, the story of the good news for those of us still in the middle of our lives, still in that middle part of the book, has not ended. Resurrection for Christ and for you and for all of us is by definition a story that has no end. Has it ever happened to you that you had a plan and you thought you know how your story would go, and then all of a sudden there's a curveball and it feels like an ending? People leave you hanging, or loved ones are gone too soon and things are not coming to clarity, and it is perplexing. It can be a powerful thing in the face of that reality to recognize and to believe that, thanks be to God, the story has not reached its end. Or maybe it's happened in your life before where you thought things could not get any worse, or perhaps you find yourself looking at a whole bunch of uncertainty or overwhelm, and you just want to get out of here and go far away. And then slowly you begin to realize that there's power in the hanging on, that there's power in hope, and in the potential for things to turn out better than you maybe could have imagined in the first place. And you remember that the story has not yet come to its end. Has it ever happened to you that in the midst of a struggle or a loss, that God showed you strength and healing and fortitude in new ways beyond what you could imagine? That's the story we live together because of Christ. And that's what the resurrection is, a resurrected life that continues even in the face of death, even in the face of all that we do to mess one another up. The story continues and it does not stop. It goes on because of the resurrection. And so the Easter story reminds us to never give up on hope, and to never give up on people, and to focus us again on life and the restoration of love and of one another. Because God does not leave us hanging on crosses or dead in tombs. Instead, God raises us to new life in Christ. There's a quote that hangs on my wall by poet Henry David Thoreau, and it reads, "The only remedy for love is to love more." It is strategically placed above my big green chair right now that I will collapse into when I'm feeling overwhelmed or tired at the end of the day. It's in a place that I can see at all times, and it reminds me that while I still have breath in my lungs and a beating heart, and if my fingers still move and my eyes still open, I can go on living and loving courageously and foolishly, because the story of my life is joined to Christ, and the story has not come to its end, and neither has your story. It is easy to be discouraged. It is easy to stall out. It is easy to freeze in your perplexing terror. But it is also such radiant resurrection Easter grace to remember that you are raised to new life in Christ. My invitation for you today is to share with the world a word of hope, to never give up on hope, because the end is not here yet. And even when you come to the end of your story, you've only really just continued in the resurrection that we're celebrating today. So when the struggle of pain is real, or when illness comes, Remember that whether you live or whether you die, that you have been raised. Don't give up on that story. It's a good one. We'll read it together. We'll read it together here. And through Christ, life does not end. When you've lost a sense of purpose or feel isolated or alone, don't give up hope on love, because you are raised to new life, and thanks be to God, this is not the end. Amen.